And welcome to Grown in California, the Blue Diamond Almond Podcast, where we talk about all that is new and trending in the world of food and almonds. I'm CJ McClellan, the Senior Manager of Strategic Marketing at Blue Diamond, and I'm joined by my co-host.
I'm Loretta Kelly, Director of Strategic Marketing.
And today we're going to discuss how the 2022 trends are playing into the food and innovation world as the year continues to progress. The International Food Information Council found that 85% of consumers have made changes to how they eat because of the pandemic. In addition, according to Mondelez International, 88% of consumers said they were snacking more during the pandemic. I know I definitely was. And last, the National Retail Federation stated that as consumers return to school or the office, convenience is expected to continue to play an important role in the food purchasing decisions that they make.
Let's introduce today's guests. They're going to provide us some great insight into the industry and what's going on with the trends out there, how they came about, how they've been influenced in innovation, and what to look for in food and beverage products during the coming year. Today, we have two guests with us, Sean Allen. He's our Vice President of Sales for the Americas, and Luann Williams. She's the Director of Insight at Innova Market Insights. Welcome, you guys.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
Great to be here as well.
We have a lot to cover today. We're going to roll our magic eight ball to try to predict what's going to happen in the future, try to figure out what's going on so we can all make the right strategic decisions for our company and become even more insightful. How about we start with you, Luann? As the Director of Insights at Innova, we'd like to hear about all the upcoming trends in 2022. But first, tell us a little bit about your role.
I am, as you said, I'm the Insights Director, and all we do every day, all day, is look at trends. So we do a lot of proprietary research. We follow what people eat and drink in 90 countries. We're doing market sizing, and we're just trying to figure out what's coming next, if I have to sum it up. So what's the opportunity, and what could be the potential size of the prize?
How does Innova Market Insights filter the data to recognize the major shifts in demand and highlight, you know, what's coming down the road? What are the future trends?
We like to say that we power better decision-making through better data. So we have a lot of structured data, which we can analyze. You can do charts and graphs. And then we just spend a huge amount of time analyzing it. You talk to a lot of consumers and you try to marry up the data. And what's really interesting is if you think about everything that goes into launching a product onto the market, you do R&D, you do consumer research. A database is a way to measure all of that. So it's actually really interesting for us that when we find the same insights coming through consumer research or through new product research. So we're looking all the time to try to figure out what's happening, what's coming. It is very rare that somebody has a completely unique idea that hasn't been done somewhere in the world somehow. And maybe it's the execution is a little bit different. People always ask about success of a product. I think it's probably a big part of it is the execution. But you have to start with a great product. And I think maybe one of our biggest challenges is trying to figure out what's the right time to talk about something, because I think there's very few things that really surprise us because we see it coming. But timing is everything, right? So when is the right time to talk about it? And how to filter down that what are the most important trends is maybe one of the bigger challenges that we deal with.
You talk about timing. I know timing is everything, especially as we're all trying to become these data-driven organizations. There's a lot of information out there. We're really trying to comb through it all and really trying to determine what is the most appropriate thing. So given it's 2022, this is technically year three of us all being hunkered down pandemic style. What are those two or three consumer food and beverage trends that you see that are driving the industry?
Well, every year we do a top 10 trends. We have a team that does it. They spend about 4 months. So it is a very data-driven exercise that we do every year. And if I just think about the top three trends, the first one is shared planet. And this is really a continuation of, we've seen clean label, you know, kind of change to where we had a lot of transparency. And it just continues to kind of morph an umbrella up to now we're at this point where consumers say their number one global concern is sustainability and the health of the planet. And now we see that consumers think that everybody shares responsibility for doing the right thing. Plant-based, of course, still absolutely huge. We're calling it plant-based, the canvas for innovation. We think that it's time for a totally new kind of innovation, and we're starting to see it happen, that it's not just about meat substitutes. We know that there is certainly a lot of press right now about the challenges that some of the big players have, but that's not plant-based. Plant-based is all kinds of things. Almonds are a plant. plant-based is still a massive trend, especially for younger consumers that are still really, really interested in that. And then the third trend is tech to table. We took a very broad definition of tech. We went from this, we had slow food and we had clean label, all these things that really reflected going back to our very simple, to maybe simplicity into a more simple time. And now we just see the massive impact that technology is having. If it's from making, you know, cellular agriculture, for example, or how technology is impacting what we eat. And that's definitely something that's been massively driven by COVID. We've seen huge shifts in how we get our food, how out of home has been affected, how we see out of home brands now in retail.
I totally agree. And as you mentioned a little bit about the pandemic and the effect it had on, you know, some of the plant-based trends and other wellness related trends and some of the food safety, how do you think that's going to look in the future? And if we dive a little bit deeper into that, what are your predictions for that kind of health and wellness plant-based space?
Well, we have a couple of new studies out that shows that also in the past 2 years, there's been a very big shift. We see now that consumers are more interested in long-term lifestyle approaches to their eating. We see that weight management is maybe something about, it's more related to aging healthily rather than just being thin. There's been big changes in that. And I think plant-based goes along with that. If you look at some of the topics on social media, there are a lot of weight loss stories on some social media channels. And you see a lot of these people are adopting plant-based diets, for example, more whole food-based diets. I think plants just have this more whole balance. They're more balanced nutrition overall. So I don't see plant-based slowing down at all.
You mentioned a little bit about social media in there and how it's impacting how the food and beverage trends and how people are eating. Just a side note, it blows my mind how much, like how many diet recipes or food recipes are on like TikTok and how influential they are. Like over the last year, there was that feta pasta trend that popped up. And I don't know if you heard about it, but it got so popular that stores were running out of feta cheese. Like they were completely sold out because there were so many people making that trendy pasta. And so looking at that, social media is having a huge influence on the way people eat and how they're doing research about the foods that they're going to eat. To build onto that and to kind of take another step forward, are there any new trends that the customers and consumers should continue to watch for?
So last year, I did a panel discussion with influencers. So, you know, we went from this crazy food babe and, you know, outrageous claims around, you know, scary ingredients and all this. And last year, we thought we started to see kind of a more normalization and more, I'm not going to say totally science-based influence, but more normalcy, right? So I decided to put together a panel. So I got the food science babe and the farm babe. And Rachel Cheatham, who also was well known, she's a dietitian in the food industry. And we talked about it. And one of the things that came out of that was that the old models of just, you know, X amount of advertising equals X amount of sales. And, you know, it was very, there was a process for it. And now you're really to a point where you have to have a conversation with your consumer, right? So in our trends also, we have voice of the consumer. It's our fifth of our top 10 trends. Consumers expect to have a bigger voice in what happens in the food industry, and they expect to see what they think and what they feel being reflected in the products that they see. You mentioned, I try not to say TikTok anymore. I talked about it so much last year. It has a huge impact. I have three college kids in my house, and like the number of videos that get sent to me, it just has a massive impact. This had a huge impact on what we eat in our house because my kids want to try something new all the time, or they want to go somewhere and eat at this restaurant, or they want Japanese pancakes. And it's super fun. So I think consumers are driving a lot of the trends in new and different ways through these things, like you mentioned, all these diet stories, my weight loss journey, you know, people showing what they eat and how they exercise and so on. And I think that body positivity, I think all this is starting to have an impact that people just want to have sense now, you know, that you don't have to be this perfect mom, because we've all learned in the past 2 years, we're not perfect. And we just do the best we can to get by, right? So I think it's going to all have a big influence in the next 2 or 3 years.
We made during the pandemic, when we were in like lockdown and we couldn't leave the house, like our weekly thing was finding one of those new recipes and trying it. Good and bad came out of that. There were some things like this instant fluffed coffee that was not for me, but then
it was really terrible. We tried it too.
It was so bad. But there were some really good recipes that came out of that too.
Mine was baked feta pasta.
Exactly.
But I've like altered it, added things to it. And so like, it's just random stuff that you see online that you're like, oh.
I don't know that consumers know how empowered they are. Maybe that's the way I would sum it up, you know? Because they are absolutely empowered.
Kind of on the topic of diets and how, you know, they've shifted so much through the pandemic, you know, from comfort foods to functional foods to health and wellness foods. We've started to see, you know, a lot of those branches grow, and flexitarian, reducitarian, and then the old staple, the vegan, ketogenic, are always at the top of the list. But as we roll into this new year, what do you think will be the biggest diet trend of 2022, and what will stick around?
As I mentioned, consumers definitely now are looking for like longer term lifestyle approaches to their eating. 68% of Americans say, I want to have a balanced diet. They say, I want to eat foods that have a positive impact on my health. Sustainability, all that stuff feeds into it as well. And then if we look at diets overall, and this is what's really interesting, because as you mentioned, there's so many different diets. But a quarter of Americans are on a lifestyle diet. So that's where you really put your, it can be plant-based, it could be vegan, fasting, intermittent fasting, those kind of things. 22% are on a macronutrient like ratios or limits type of diet. But what's really interesting is that intermittent fasting is growing really fast, which doesn't surprise me, because that's also, we talk about TikTok, social media, that's a huge thing. People talk about their experience. Keto is still growing a little bit. But intermittent fasting really skipped a few steps. So I think it's going to continue. Whole foods, trying to eat better, trying to, a lot of people more plant-based. I think that's going to be the big winner. If I had to put my money on something, how do you influence? And if you had to invest in something, I would not try to look for that magic bullet, you know, with the huge keto on the front of the package. But I would find products that fit into that balanced type of lifestyle.
What trend that you are seeing for 2022 most resonates with you?
I'm amazed at regenerative agriculture and how much I've seen that be coming on labels and communication and so on. If you can sell carbon credits and have an extra $500,000 a year, you're going to make a few changes and do that. So I think that's going to be what we're seeing going forward. And the consumer having a really big voice, and also the consumers wanting to eat products that align with their values. So companies are going to have to launch brands. It's not just about breakfast, or it's not just about a specific occasion. But it's about finding those products that align with their values as well. There's never been a more interesting time in the food industry, I think.
I love that thought on a whole balanced diet. I'm going to write a book that said, I Kiss Dieting Goodbye or something. You know, I really think we know exactly what we're supposed to eat and when we're supposed to eat it. It was just, you know, there's too many bells and whistles on everything. You're very excited about the food options that you have in front of you. So you go for it. But, you know, I know I should have blueberries instead. I know I should eat almonds instead, you know.
Last question for you for now. We'll see if more pop up during the answer. But for those listening, for the food and beverage producers, how can they better use data and insights to ride the early waves of trends or to innovate new products and gain consumer interest or loyalty?
Well, I think, first of all, know your consumer, right? It starts with that. Who are you? And thinking about things. We had a discussion last week about immunity. And I said, okay, let's all put ourselves into the place of a consumer, of our customer. Would you invest in that? And so we had a discussion, and I said, okay, what if you had a brand that you could move things in and out really quickly? You had access to all these botanicals and all that stuff. Would you do it then? And then the whole answer changes, right? So I think if you know your consumer, if you know what skills you have, there is so much data available and your own data that I don't think it's difficult to leverage it. And maybe it's difficult to put it all together, but well, I know we're sitting on a pile of data and we're not the only ones. There's a lot of ways to do research or to get at the research. And then I think sometimes people try to overthink it. And I think also, don't be held back by the old ways of doing things. I've been talking to startups for the last few months, and I can tell you the way they do business is completely different to the old ways of doing that, that you might have learned it in the 80s or the 90s. So I think just continue to learn. And the data will definitely guide you for sure, but trust the data and try to eliminate those, you know, big voices of one that say it should be like this or be like that, or I think this, or I think, just look at the data. It will absolutely tell you. And from somebody who, that's all we do all day, every day, is look at data. It's rarely wrong.
That's exciting. That's good news.
Maybe I'll just add one more thing just before we get off. Define your problem statement. What problem are you trying to solve? What is your burning question? I think that's where it all starts. And most people have the hardest time telling you what their burning question is, but it starts there. And then you can find the data to answer it.
Now we're going to move into our interactive segment, my favorite part, quick fire, rapid fire Q&A. We have a bunch of questions that we've picked together. We've got three today that we're going to ask you guys, our panelists, all about. So our first question is going to go to you, Luann. What has been the most surprising trend of 2022?
Oh, that's easy. I was really surprised. We do a big, we ask consumers across many countries, what's your number one like global concern? And every single year it's personal health. And this year it is health of the planet. And I was really surprised. And you see also, if you ask consumers, why do they eat plant-based? Better for the planet moved up a spot. So I think that's, I didn't think it would go that fast. I remember I was actually at a big almond conference, 7 or 8 years ago. And I remember having a big discussion saying sustainability was a Wall Street issue. Well, it is definitely a consumer issue now. So that was my biggest surprise for 2022.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that transition.
Me too.
I love it.
I think the shared planet has really like been accelerated since COVID. Like we all realize like something can happen in China and affect all of us. And then we all have to change our behavior, change what we do and how we behave in order to respond to the actions of someone else. So what about you, Sean? What's most surprising trend of 2022?
I guess I'd have to echo Luann's comment about sustainability. So the depths at which it's reached around the world, and whether you're talking to a consumer, to a corporation, to even, you know, media outlets, you know, our shared understanding of the world we live in and how small it's become. And I think I used to think of sustainability around communication and that, you know, I like what Luann said about it being more of a corporate issue. It's such a broad reaching trend now, whether we're talking about transparency in the supply chains, talking about regenerative agriculture, about this, the quality of the food that we eat. There just seems to be much more emphasis today on the health of the things that we put into our body than there ever has been at any time in the past.
That's really good. You know, I definitely agree with that. Sustainability has become a more broad reaching trend. I think we take sustainability very seriously here at Blue Diamond. I mean, it's inherent in our DNA. I mean, we are a co-op, right? You know, it's about these shared resources. Many can come together and create one powerful message moving forward. So I think we really look at how we can actually connect and interconnect with each other and really drive something forward that's unique. So sustainability, I definitely see that as something that we take huge efforts to make sure we share with both our growers, our consumers, as well as our B2B customers. Question number two. Do you expect formulators to take these challenges from 2021 to carry them into 2022?
Yeah, I'd say absolutely. The world may change fast, but I think that's the key, is that things constantly change. And so as formulators are looking to continue to be agile and quick, I think that that is the one constant between 2021 and 2022. So whether we're talking about intense flavors or we're talking about plant-based, I think these things are carrying over from one year to the next, and I would expect that formulators will continue to have to face those same challenges.
What about you, Luann?
I have the advantage of, I went to a food ingredient show at the end of 2021, and I also heard lots of comments about prices and supply chain and shipping, and well, we know the climate has changed because the fruits we used to buy are not growing as much this year, and there's not enough supply, so I do think a lot of the challenges from 2021 will continue to carry into to this year for sure around so many topics, but prices and supply chain are certainly going to be two big ones this year as well.
Yeah, I'd have to, you know, kind of build a little bit more and say that during the first part of the pandemic, I think that we, you know, the world had a chance to retrench a little bit. And while there were certainly a number of challenges, as the world of commerce has gotten back to full steam and then some, those challenges that faced us in a certain way at the beginning of the pandemic are now facing us in even larger ways as people are back to market, so to speak. As we look at what's happening in the agriculture and food ingredients industry, several different companies and customers are all dealing with the challenges of supply chains now in a way that we thought maybe we would get through in the first part of the pandemic, but global freight, local trucking, the Great Resignation, all of these things that are happening in a larger way now than ever.
We've talked a little bit about food safety and transparency, and according to Stardust, last year those claims made up 13% of new product launches. What do you see for the future of food safety and transparency on both the consumer side and on the manufacturer formulator side?
Well, I'll jump in here. I certainly think that food safety will continue to be very important. And in fact, there will be much more activity from both local governments and federal governments to protect our food supply. I know that we've seen much more of a concern from our customers as it relates to things like Proposition 65 in California, or as companies look at their ingredients and statements and what is going into the products that they're manufacturing. They continue to show a lot of concern and have a lot of questions about what is going into their food. I also think, again, after coming out of the pandemic, where many organizations were not allowed or able to conduct audits at the same frequency that they were able to in the past, there's a renewed vigor in ensuring that plants are compliant and manufacturing facilities are doing the things that they need to do to protect our food supply.
Yeah. And Sean, I can maybe build on that from the other side. I mentioned earlier that when we have all this structured data that's in a big database, and it really does reflect what's happening on the consumer side, I'm not surprised to hear that there are a lot of product claims on this, because we can also see in our consumer data that older people really care about safety of the products, what they're putting in their body. You know, we've had 2 years of debate around vaccines and medicine and all kinds of things that people are super sensitive about what's toxic and what's good for them and so on. So I'm not surprised to see that reflected on food labels, that if you have something to brag about, you're going to put it on your label as well, right? And then around transparency, that goes back to what's in it, where is it made, who made it, how they make it, and so on. So I'm not surprised at all that food manufacturers are also communicating. I think a lot of people, Americans, don't realize just how absolutely safe the American food supply is. I know that there's some scares from time to time, but it's on such a tiny amount of products. But there seems to be a lot of fear about it. And then you have countries where there is a lot of issues, and Americans don't realize how safe their food is and how protected they are. But at the same time, I'm not surprised that manufacturers are going to find ways to highlight that to reassure consumers. So I think that'll continue.
I've got another rapid fire question to add. When you think about something that you've changed or done over the past few years from a trend perspective, what trend do you feel like you've grabbed onto and embraced and, you know, have brought that into your lifestyle, your way of working into what you do today?
For me personally and my family, we've gone to very simple eating. So there was a time when I think that raising kids, there's opportunities to eat lots of processed food or food out at restaurants while on the go. And we've made in our home a conscious choice to reduce that as much as possible, and kind of an early way of intermittent fasting, if you will. We try to eat dinner very early. And I wouldn't call it so much a trend, but at least it's a food choice that allows us to eat those calories earlier in the evening so that we're not going to sleep on a angry, full stomach.
It's cool. You are a first adopter of intermittent fasting.
It works.
What about you, Luann?
Well, my COVID skill is I can now cook with spices very confidently. And I've actually used a whole bottle of spices more than once. So I'm super proud of it, because I've never been a bad cook. My parents grew up on farms, so I never had anything that was I didn't grow up on processed food at all, because we still, you know, I had to cut the okra, and we had this huge garden, and my husband grew up on a dairy farm. So we're kind of clean, simple eaters anyway. But one of our big trends is also around amplified experiences and discovery, the adventurous consumer. We have definitely become super adventurous consumers in my household. And I think also as our kids got older, we traveled a lot. So our kids knew that they had to eat things they might not like if they wanted to still travel. But we just took it to a whole new level at home. So my kids will eat everything. And we're just trying new things. So definitely the discovery side has been big for us. And I live in a place where everybody eats at 6 o'clock. So we eat really early too. And it's fantastic. You have time for an evening activity when you do that. So that's the additional benefit to your intermittent fasting as well. You can go to sleep on digested food and a happy stomach. So
I like that term, amplified experience, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Food was our entertainment for 2 years. So I think that's going to continue as well. You know, that was certainly it's all that we did was just cook every crazy thing we could think of.
Well, this is great. And we've learned so much about you, each of you. And we've learned a lot about the food and beverage trends that kind of happened in 2021 and that are coming down the pipeline and how they're shaping the industry. Joining us next is Sean Allen, our Vice President of Sales for the Americas. And Sean knows firsthand what consumers are looking for and how their preferences influence food and beverage innovation. So welcome, Sean.
Great to be here.
We're going to dive right in. So first, do you want to tell us just a little bit about your role and how you see it impacting the industry?
Yeah, sure. My name is Sean Allen. I'm the Vice President of Sales for our Global Ingredients Division in the Americas. And I lead a team of sales directors who interact with our food manufacturing customers to provide them with almond-based food solutions and help them to navigate the changing times in the food world.
And what, from your perspective, what business changes are you seeing based on the consumer demands over the past year that you think are going to have the staying power as we move forward and through 2022?
I think agility. The pandemic and all of the supply chain challenges that it's brought to the food industry, I think we're going to see that continue. And when I talk about agility, I think the flexibility of our customers to be able to figure out very quickly what their consumers need, when they need it, and then getting that to them as quickly as possible is going to stay, and realizing when a consumer is not in love with a food choice, being able to pivot out of that and find something else new. Because quite frankly, you know, the competition is going to force that to happen. Because if you can't find a solution for your customer or consumer, someone else will.
And I read that during the pandemic, that was more apparent than ever, because you would go to the store and your favorite chip brand or your favorite bread brand would not be on the shelves. And so even consumers had to learn, or I don't even know if they had to learn it, but they had to be more flexible and start pivoting to other brands during that to meet those needs. So I think, yeah, the flexibility and the ability to be nimble will definitely stick around.
I bet you a lot of new startups and a lot of new products got a chance to really shine during the pandemic, right? Like you said, you go to the store, you don't see that bag of chips that you were looking for, you try the next one. I definitely think I have tried a lot of new things since this whole period started. The pandemic has driven growth in functional foods and beverages, right? You've got lots of vegan alternatives that are popping up, and the value that's provided by those products, people are very interested in. So how do you expect formulators to keep up with these demands as they continue to launch new products in these spaces?
I believe that food formulators have identified that, you know, whether it's because of cost pressures or demand needs from consumers, that this the vegan or non-dairy space is, you know, just exploding with opportunity for new types of products, whether we're talking cheeses, yogurts, and just everything in that space. So as they're doing that, they're going to be looking for whatever ingredients can provide the appropriate functionality in that area. And so, you know, whether that could be grains or, as in our case, nuts. And so what they're going to be ultimately challenged to find is what is the appropriate functionality from those plant-based foods that they're going to use in the vegan space. I think one of the key opportunities for food formulators as they explore the vegan space is, you know, what functionality can plant-based foods bring? And in our area, I think that almond butter provides some unique properties in the vegan space. So whether it's its texture, the creaminess that it can provide, or viscosity, these are ideal for those applications such as cheese or yogurt, or even the ice cream space. It can provide that ideal texture that will help food formulators connect to the consumers.
And to build on that a little bit, or to dive a little deeper, outside of the actual functional attributes that it's bringing to the product, do you think that there are health benefits that can go along with that and a space for that of the products that are fortified with those extra nutrients or those additional vitamins and increased fiber and proteins? Do you think there's opportunity in that vegan space for those as well?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, you think about, the nutrients that almonds provide and the almond derivatives provide, whether it's, protein and fiber. I mean, an almond-based product can bring that added value to those functional foods and beverages and really help the developers show where a product created using almonds can be differentiated from others.
I remember Luann told us the other day on our webisode about hero ingredients. And I remember her equating almonds to being a hero ingredient and, those ingredients that basically do it all. They're the supermen of the ingredient world. And I'm glad to know that almonds are on that list. So that's exciting. So when you think of some of almonds' benefits and the nutritional value, their versatility, how do Blue Diamond almonds continue to add and create additional value for customers?
Blue Diamond creates value for its customers in a number of ways. From a technical perspective, we have our applied almond expertise programs where we work very, very closely with customers to understand their challenges, whether it be a functional issue, a supply chain issue, or quite frankly, something around a cost pressure. And Blue Diamond partners with our customers to create solutions that will help them navigate those challenges. We also work very, very hard with our customers to create strong, long-lasting relationships that will allow them to trust that we can help them navigate the volatility in markets. Blue Diamond tries to be that trusted advisor in the almond industry in a way that we feel is very unique to our abilities.
So true. And one other tidbit that we learned last week during the recording of one of our web series was that if you eat 33 almonds a day, it can help with the effects of aging, which
I'm working on that too.
A bitter important after 30.
I'm going to start rubbing almonds on my face. They're a great exfoliant too.
Have you noticed any companies putting a greater focus on their ingredients and supply chains as a result of the growing interest that consumers have in transparency?
Whether you are a local company or a multinational, the focus on supply continuity has a greater sense of urgency than it's ever been. We see food formulators looking to find alternative ingredients because certain ingredients are not able to be used or won't make it to plants. We see very creative ways from customers to find transportation options that aren't there. We also see, customers looking at retrenching their product offerings. Their ability to offer a super diversified line of products may have to be paused or put on delay to focus on their core ingredient. So there's certainly very real pressures that are facing both suppliers and customers in the current environment where we exist.
I've definitely heard a lot about how Blue Diamond has been one of those companies that people can go to because of the breadth and depth of the supply of almonds that they have. I always say we have slices and dices and everything in between. And so you have that full amount of products available to you. And this is why customers come to us versus other players in the marketplace, because it's a one-stop shop, right? And I think especially as, people are looking for that continuity and supply, it's important to go with somebody who's got that name, recognition, reliability, quality, and essentially the backing of hundreds of growers to support us. What trends do you see developing in 2022 that could change the food and beverage industry?
Well, I'm just going to prompt you because I have to say, I think everything around local. And I think some of the things that you mentioned, we know, I think 85% of the world's almonds are grown in California. Mm-hmm. That's such a powerful selling story because you're not having to ship them from China. Maybe you want to ship them to China, but certainly for U.S. manufacturers, you have this fantastic domestic supply of this absolutely hero ingredient that brings, it just ticks so many boxes. So now you tick, you know, well, we know how much the almond industry does on sustainability. There are farms that are in their sixth generation of almond farmers. What a fantastic, amazing story that is, because you don't go out there and farm unless you absolutely love it and your family is devoted to it, right? So even, and then you have this, just nature has made this perfect little product that, as you said, you can make an almond butter of it. You can add all these benefits nutritionally, but also for texture, for pleasure, for health, for so many things. I think local has a huge potential to change the industry. I think it's already making a shift that consumers are so attracted to it. Everything is local to somebody, so there's always a way to market that. But I think certainly from Blue Diamond's perspective, you're sitting on top of 85% of the world's supply of this marvelous ingredient. And I think it'll be really interesting to see where local takes us.
I like that. I think one of the things that I've started doing more, I think when I started traveling early on, I would go to one particular coffee shop chain. And now I actually am, where's the local chain? And I want to know where it is. I think whenever I go to the Sacramento office, like CJ just drags me around like, let's try this one, let's try that one. So I'm definitely down with the local coffee and croissant idea. And I think I even found my local gluten-free donut shop in Sacramento.
And everything here, because it's one of the largest farm-to-table cities in the nation, is made with local ingredients. I didn't know how much agriculture was grown here until I moved here.
Yeah. There's now an appreciation for people who are really good at working wood or people who can make things. So we've kind of come full circle back to where there's a massive appreciation for all this. And I think that's reflected in food. And that's why I think it has a potential to become an even bigger trend. So just to add that in, it's not just food. It's kind of everything that we just have an appreciation for artisans and for craftsmanship. And
that is, looking back, before I moved to California, I lived in the River Market in Kansas City, which is kind of like the farmer's market. And over the course of the year, we saw the reemergence of like butcher shops popped up, like a cheese shop that was, I don't know what the word is for them. It's not fromagerie, I'm sure, but whatever, cheesemonger, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Popped back up. There was like every store became like all of a sudden all these things that had kind of fallen off in the past had reemerged, and you could go through the market and get each of the different things, the bakery, your cheese, your meats. It was great. Loved it.
And I told you, my parents grew up on farms, and they definitely got tired of some of, you know, how difficult it was to grow everything and that kind of stuff. But now it is the aspirational way to eat. So I think that has the potential to be an even bigger trend.
Everything tastes so much better.
It does.
Yep.
It does. Local.
Yeah. I love going to my local farmer's market. We have one here every day in North Carolina. It's nice.
So then our job in the industry is to see how do we take that goodness and put it into products that are more convenient, that are affordable, that are nutritionally better. And that will be the big trend, is how do you make those products better?
Well, Sean, Luann, thank you so much for joining us today. We've learned about Shared Planet and the sustainability and health of the planet, plant-based canvas for innovation and tech to table, and much, much more, and how almonds fit into that. Any final thoughts before we close this session?
It was really fun, and I learned as well. So thanks for having me.
We really enjoyed having you.
This has been great, Luann. Great to learn from you as well, and look forward to talking to everyone a little more about almonds in the future.
If you're hungry for more insights, head to our website at bdingredients.com/insights to learn all about the latest developments in food and beverage innovation.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe to our show and leave us a review. But until next time, thanks for listening.
Bye.